So you can take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on standing versus state. Standing versus state. In Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, which means that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right? And as we know, this is the how of being born again, right? When we believe this, we are forever changed and we receive Holy Spirit. That's what it is to be born again. When we're born the first time from our earthly mothers, we are body and soul. But when we're born again, we receive Holy Spirit, right? We receive Holy Spirit. And part of that, what we receive is salvation, that we are saved. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1 verse 18, it says, in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, for example. You weren't redeemed. The price that was paid for you was not corruptible things like money. From your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what we were redeemed by. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we were not redeemed with corruptible things. And the seed that we received was not a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible one. An incorruptible one. And why is that important? Well, it's important because it's what makes us sons of God. What makes us sons of God is an incorruptible seed, which means it can't be corrupted. That's what incorruptible means, right? It can't, like, wear away, fall apart, be destroyed, right? It's permanent. It cannot be changed or corrupted or taken away. Once you're a son of God, you're always a son of God, right? And nothing is going to change that. It's irremovable. You can't undo it. And that's what defines our standing, right? Our standing is defined by that incorruptible seed, that it's impossible to change it. It's impossible to change it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So when we talk about our standing before God, it's something that will never change. We can't have it removed. No one can take it from us. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. right? You're a new creation with Christ in you because it's Holy Spirit now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So God's reconciled us back to him. Right? Before we were strangers and foreigners. Now we're brought back together with God. We're reconciled. Verse 19, to wit, or that is to say, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he has made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in or through him. Right? And so ultimately, that's what we've been given. And that is our standing before God. We are a new creation. And we are made as righteous as God is. As righteous gets. That's our standing before God. That's the way that God sees you. When he looks at you, he sees the Holy Spirit in you. He sees you as righteous, right? He sees you as perfect. He doesn't look at the flesh and the blood and go, well, they're kind of a stinker sometimes, or they're not real good at that. He sees the Holy Spirit in you and sees that perfect. He sees the righteousness in you. Right? He doesn't look at your flaws and your shortcomings. That's our standing before God. Ephesians 2:5. Go to Ephesians 2:5. So God made his son to be sin for us who knew no sin, right? Jesus Christ never sinned. But he laid all of our sins on Christ so that we could be made righteous. And that's what we have. That's our standing before God. In Ephesians 2:5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, right? We were dead in sins before. He has quickened us together, made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? That's our standing. We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. When God sees us, he sees us right up there with his Son. Are we there right now? No. Here we all are in this room. This house was a box. We're in a box. But here we are in this room. But God sees us as seated in the heavenlies with his Son. That's where we'll be someday. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. And that word workmanship can be translated masterpiece. We are his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Right? So we are seated in the heavenlies. When God sees us, he looks at us and sees his masterpieces, right? The greatest thing that he's ever created. He looks at you and that's what you are to him. This masterpiece, right? He doesn't look at you and see you as broken or flawed. He sees you as perfect. And that's our standing. And that standing is fixed. It is permanent. You can't lose it. You can't screw up so bad that you're no longer a son of God, right? It's impossible. You are always going to be a son of God. But our state is different. Our state in our earthly family is determined by our behavior, right? So when you're a kid, right, your mom and dad tell you to do something. They give you specific instruction. If you screw up, right, then there's consequences, right? So your state can fluctuate based on your behavior, right? Your mom and dad are always going to be your mom and dad, right? I can't change the fact that my mother gave birth to me, right? And that my dad's my dad, right? I will always be their biological children. There's no amount of anything that can change that. right? But when I was a kid, for sure, I could be in really great fellowship with them and hanging out and having a good time, or I could be disobeying and really screwing up and be sent to my room or whatever the consequence might be, right? And so that state fluctuates. It's different depending on what's going on, right? But nothing you can suddenly do will make you the offspring of someone else. That standing as a son or a daughter of your parents is what it is. And it's the same way with God, right? If I choose to go outside and play instead of doing my laundry, then there would be consequences, right? And how do I get over that? I would ultimately apologize, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. I should have folded my laundry. And they forgive me. And now we're cool again. And we're happy again. And everything's all right. Right? So we've repaired that state. And again, it's the same way with God. We have the choice of doing his word or doing what we want to do and disobeying, doing something contrary to the word. That's a choice that we get to make. And if we do something contrary, then we break fellowship with God, right? And then our state isn't one where we're nice and in fellowship with God. And we've got to restore that. So go to 1 John chapter 1. God blessed us with free will, right? We get to decide to do his word or do something contrary to it, right? And that's awesome because having free will is fantastic. But it also means that we'll screw up sometimes, right? And even though he sees us as perfect, our fellowship with him is determined by our choices, by our behavior. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with who? The Father. That's God. Truly, our fellowship is with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We're writing this stuff to you so that you can be really happy. Well, let's find out how to be really happy. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we're in fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we do things contrary to his word, then we lie and do not the truth, right? We can't be in fellowship with God and doing things contrary to his word, right? That makes us a liar. So in order to be in fellowship with God, we have to do his word. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right? And so this record is addressed to born-again believers, right? Because if in verse 3, our fellowship is with the Father. If we're sons of God, then guess what? We're sons of God. We're born again already, right? We're born again already. We've already received remission of sins. There's nothing that's going to change that. So if this is addressed to us as sons of God, then to confess our sins in verse 9 is talking about what happens after we get born again. After we get born again, we might screw up and we might break fellowship by doing things that are contrary to the word, right? And that means that we've sinned. God doesn't look at us. He sees the Holy Spirit in us. He sees us as perfect still, but we've broken fellowship with God. We've walked away from him, right? He hasn't left us. God will never leave us or forsake us, but we've broken fellowship with him. We've cut him off. Right? And so when we sin, we cut God off. When we do things contrary to God's word, we cut him off. But he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins in verse 9 if we do something, if we confess our sins. And confessing our sins sounds really weird in religious terms because that's what a lot of the church has you do, is go into a small little room with a priest and confess your sins. But confessing your sins really is just admitting what you've done and saying you're sorry, right? Admitting you did something wrong. I'm sorry, God. Just like with your mom and dad. I'm sorry, mom and dad. I should have folded the laundry instead of going outside to play, right? You go to God and you say, I'm sorry, God. I should have been doing your word instead of this other thing. And he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us. Get it right back together with God. Right back together with God. And to repair that state that we're in. So when we sin, it leads to broken fellowship. And when we simply apologize, right, and go back to and ask God forgiveness, ask God to forgive us, he does. He forgives us. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Right? So if any man does sin, then Jesus Christ is right up there advocating for us on our behalf. Right? And God is quick to forgive us. So we write these things unto you that your joy may be full. Right? The way to be happy is to do God's word and not to break fellowship with him. Right? But, and it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, you know, we write these things in hopes that you don't sin, right? In hopes that you will do God's word, in hopes that you will do your best to walk that way. But if you do screw up, we have an advocate, right? Jesus Christ. And God is quick to forgive us, which is really awesome. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So our state can fluctuate. Our standing is always true. It's always sure. We're always sons of God. We can't screw that up or lose that. And thank God we can't, because we probably find a way. But our state, that takes some work, right? That's something we have to work towards. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Right? And so we keep our state in fellowship with God when we put on the mind of Christ. When we put on the mind of Christ. We cannot lose the Christ in us, but we need to work on being in Christ and having that mind of Christ in our own brains, right? In our own brains. In renewing our mind to the Word, we have to do that over and over and over again. And that's what maintains our fellowship with God. Go to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. We know these verses really well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
That's right. When we renew our minds to God's word, it transforms us, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? We're transformed because we're back in fellowship with God, right? We're not conformed to the world. We rise above it, right? We're transformed by the renewing of our minds to God's word, right? And that's what keeps our state in really good shape with God, what keeps us in fellowship with him. Go to 1 John chapter 3. All right, so you can't lose the Holy Spirit that you have. You can't make it so that you're no longer a son of God. Once you believe Romans 10:9-10, that's it. You're good. right? But to really be happy, to really enjoy life, we've got to work and maintain at keeping our fellowship with God, right? We've got to keep that going. In 1 John 3, verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Right? We can see how big God loved us because of what Christ did for us in laying down his life for us. And we ought to do the same thing, right? Lay down our lives in service for one another. "But whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby, as a result, we know," and that's gnosko, "by experience, that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Right? So we're to walk in love, right, with God and with others, right? And those two things cover so much of how we're to conduct ourselves and maintain fellowship with God, right? If we're walking in love with God and with one another, then we'll have no problem maintaining fellowship with God. And verse 20 says, "For if our heart condemn us," right? If our heart condemn us, if we've screwed up in some way, "God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not," right? If we're back in fellowship with God, "then we have confidence toward God." And that word confidence is parhesia in the Greek. Parhesia. And it means boldness or without reservation. It means boldness or without reservation. So if we're in fellowship with God, then we have great boldness toward him. There's no reservation with God when we are in that state. And in verse 22, it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we might," maybe, potentially, one day, no. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Right? So if you want to receive answered prayer, if you want to have, you know, an abundant life, one that you're expecting great things from, then the key to all of that is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Right? When we're in fellowship with God, we have great boldness to him. We have no reservation going to him. And we receive things of him. Right? So fellowship with God is the secret to tapping the more abundant life. Right? When we are in fellowship with God, we are right on with him. And we're going to get those answered prayers. We're going to see those things come to pass. The signs, the miracles, the wonders, all of that stuff. But it's predicated on being in fellowship with God. Right? We're going to have great peace, the peace that passes understanding. All of that is from fellowship with God. Verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us," right? It's God and Christ in us. We can't lose that. It can't be taken away. But when we're on and we're in fellowship with God, then our state is fantastic. And we'll receive answered prayer. We'll see all kinds of great things come to pass, right? Hebrews 13:5 says that God will never leave us or forsake us. But it's very available for us to cut God off, right? And then when we do, we just say we're sorry. We get back in fellowship with him. And then we're right on again, right? We're his kids. We're always going to be redeemed and righteous and justified and sanctified. That's our standing and it's unchanging, right? But our state is our fellowship with him. And that's the key to living abundantly.